Come, Holy Ghost, God and Lord, may all your graces be outpoured on this day. We praise our Lord, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit for giving us the gift of life. Amen. There was a man who did not give up on trash. And I would like you to think about this. This was in the country of Paraguay, South America. And that man saw trash outside a city that basically was a slum built on a landfill. And he saw possibilities. He saw trash that could be turned into musical instruments. He saw young people, some of them orphans, many of them poor and dirty, who needed a purpose in life. And he, with his musical skills, decided to provide that purpose. And it was a fascinating thing that he took old oil drums and discards that were in this landfill and turned them into violins and cellos and violas and basses. And he actually created an orchestra out of junk. That story was called the Landfill Harmonic. Isn't that something that he didn't give up where others would? You know, God also did not give up where others could. He took discards, spiritual rejects, people who were dead, and he saw the possibility of life. Life by his power, life by his spirit. On this Pentecost day, we are celebrating that God has the ability to provide life where there is death. There's a reason why when we confess the creed, we speak of the Holy Spirit as the Lord, the giver of life. He truly is. May God fill you with joy as today we consider how he has given you and our generation that life. We are looking at the Old Testament lesson for today, the lesson from Ezekiel chapter 37. And you might recall from your knowledge of Bible history, this was a destitute time in Israel's history. This was a time in which the people of Israel had been carted off from their homeland of Israel into the land of Babylon, and they felt hopeless. I mean, if you can imagine one of those post-apocalyptic kind of movies that you've seen where apparently there's been some kind of a huge global disaster and cities have been leveled and there's only dust and dryness and a horrible way of life. Well, that's the way it felt to them. Jerusalem had been destroyed. Her walls had been knocked down. Her temple had been turned into nothing. It was almost as if they felt, we have no home to go back to. And they were about to give up on their God. And it was at that time that God came to them with a vision. You know how in Scripture the Lord often provided a vision when people were feeling hopeless. He allowed Ezekiel to minister to these suffering, hopeless people. And through this vision, asked a question, can these bones live? Let's hear his answer. The vision was a unique one. If you know anything about Ezekiel, you've heard this vision before. Notice how it begins. The hand of the Lord was on me, and he brought me out by the Spirit of the Lord and set me in the middle of a valley. It was full of bones. He led me back and forth among them, and I saw a great many bones on the floor of the valley, bones that were very dry. He asked me, Son of man, can these bones live? Now, what a picture that was. Dead, dry bones. Imagine somebody asking you when you're out hiking, maybe in the woods, or maybe you've been out west and you've seen the carcass of a cow or a horse or a donkey, and somebody said, can these bones live? What would you answer? Well, our instinctive answer would be, no way. Bones don't just get up and live. That's an impossibility. It cannot happen. You know, the same thing is true spiritually, and that's going to be a huge point with this text. God has to spend a lot of time in the Bible talking about spiritual death. Why? Because the human being has spiritual death as a fact of his life. We go all the way back to the Garden of Eden, don't we? When God had warned his dear child for us to have a relationship, for me to be your God and you my son, do not eat of this tree of the knowledge of good and evil, because the day you eat of it, you will surely die. Satan took that precious gift of a relationship with God, and through temptation, he trashed it. He got Adam to disobey his God, and that brought death into the world. And God finally had to say to his dear children, "Dust you are, and to dust you shall return." But not just physical dust, spiritual dust, the dust of spiritual death and decay. And throughout Scripture, that point is made over and over again. The Lord said through the Apostle Paul to the Romans, "Sin entered the world through one man, and death through sin. And in this way, death came to all people, because all sinned." No one was exempt from that spiritual poison of death. Again, the Lord said through St. Paul, "You were dead in your transgressions and sins, in which you used to live when you followed the ways of this world." In other words, not only were people inherently spiritually dead, but they lived like it too, not alive to God with gifts of deeds of righteousness and faith, but instead spiritually dead with little fists of rebellion raised up against God, saying, "God, you are not the boss of me." Surely human beings brought nothing but God's anger upon their heads. You know, Ezekiel did not answer God the way maybe he was thinking. He didn't say, "No way, God, could these bones live." He just bowed, out, certainly out of fear for his Lord, and said, "Lord, you alone know the answer to that question." And God did know the answer to that question, but he didn't tell him right away. Instead, what we see him doing is giving Ezekiel a command to prophesy. "Hear the word of the Lord." It goes on, "Then he said to me, 'Prophesy to these bones.'" Well, you know what prophesy means, right? To speak the very word of the Lord inspired by his Holy Spirit. "So prophesy to these bones and say to them, 'Dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. This is what the sovereign Lord says to these bones. I will make breath enter you.'" That's the word in the Hebrew language. It's the word ruach, which is also the word for spirit. When we talk about the Holy Spirit, we're talking about the holy breath of God. "That breath will enter you, and you will come to life. I will attach tendons to you and make flesh come upon you and cover you with skin. I will put breath in you, and you will come to life. Then you will know that I am the Lord." What a scene that must have been in this vision. I don't even know how you would portray that using some kind of video technology today. But imagine God telling Ezekiel, "Start preaching to the dead bones." Again, we normally don't do that. But God said, "Do it anyhow. And tell these bones that I know how to bring life into them." And as he preached in the name of the Lord, this foolish message, at least it sounded like it was foolishness, suddenly Ezekiel is hearing a rattling sound, and these dry bones are starting to knock against each other and move and join together, and they're being fixed together with ligaments and tendons, and muscles start covering them, and skin starts to cover them, and they look like human bodies. At first, that's all there was, dead human bodies. You and I both know from biology class that life is far more than just having all the right parts put together. There's something about life, having breath, the breath of life inside a being that separates, for example, a dead frog from a live frog, or a dead human being from a live human being. And so God did not stop. And he said, go ahead, Ezekiel, go prophesy to the four winds. That was the way the Bible talked about the breath all over the world. Prophesy to those winds and say, go into those people and allow them to breathe and to come to life. And sure enough, as that breath of the Lord, that word that is spoken from Ezekiel's mouth goes out, life comes in to these dead bodies and they stand up. And God says, they formed a vast army. Think of that. An army is the strength of a nation. An army is how it moves forward, is protected. The Lord turned his people, dead, dry bones, into a living army to serve him and to give glory to his name. That tells us a little bit about our God, doesn't it? It would have been so easy for God to leave these dead bones lying in a valley, maybe just to bring in a bulldozer and plow them under so nobody had to even look at them. But that was never his plan, to just plow over human beings, to just discard them because they were spiritually dead. Far from it. God's plan has always been to take the dead and to breathe into them the breath of life, that they may become his children. Because he cares about beings. We think of how just 3-4 chapters before this, the Lord had said, as surely as I live, declares the sovereign Lord, I take no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but rather that they turn from their evil ways and live. God, who is absolutely just, would have every right to destroy human beings who had sinned against him. But what really gives him joy is giving human beings something that they didn't have coming, giving them the hope of eternal life. And so he would say things like he did through Jeremiah, where he said, I know the plans that I have for you, my people, plans not to harm you, but to give you hope and a future. We think of how the Lord does this too. It's always been through the breath of his mouth, right? An amazing thing. He did not need some kind of a crash cart or some kind of a medical kind of advance for his day to make these dead bones come alive. All he needed were the words of his mouth, his spirit, his breath. That's always been the way it is. When God wants to give spiritual hope to people, he talks to them. He prophesies to them. It's as Isaiah said, my word will not return to me empty, says the Lord, but it will accomplish what I desire and achieve the purpose for which I sent it. Or think of how Jesus said in the Gospel of John, my words to you are spirit and they are life. Think of how the Lord brought you to spiritual life. It wasn't through some hocus pocus, and it wasn't through some technology. It was by talking to you, both in word and in sacrament, making a promise to you that you, though your sins were like scarlet, would be white as snow, and though they were red as crimson, you would be like wool. And that word itself did something to you. It energized your dead spiritual bones. It breathed life into them. It gave you hope and a future. And you would never be the same. What a joy that is for us. Can these bones live? Was the difficult question that God presented directly to his prophet Ezekiel. And his final answer is yes. So what happens? He said, so I prophesied as he commanded me, and breath entered them. They came to life, stood up on their feet, a vast army. Now, what would this mean for Israel? Israel, who had been gone for decades from their homeland, who had given up the possibility of going back to the promised land, now were given the promise of God. Notice what God said. Then he said to me, son of man, these bones are the people of Israel. They say, our bones are dried up and our hope is gone. We are cut off. Therefore prophesy and say to them, this is what the sovereign Lord says, my people, I am going to open up your graves and bring you up from them. I will bring you back to the land of Israel. Then you, my people, will know that I am the Lord. When I open your graves and bring you up from them, I will put my spirit in you and you will live, and I will settle you in your own land. Then you will know that I, the Lord, have spoken and I have done it, declares the Lord. This was one of the greatest prophecies of all history, that the people of Israel, who had been reprimanded by God for their unbelief, who had been driven away from their homeland and sentenced to 70 years of captivity in a foreign, ungodly nation, would actually be brought back. And God says, all the nations are going to go, wow, their God is the Lord. He is good to his promise. What's especially exciting is that when they did go back to their homeland, and they did under Cyrus, king of Persia, they would go back to await the coming of their Savior. And he would come just a few hundred years later to bring salvation to the world. All the things that God had promised about giving them life would come forth through his Son. They would see God in all his love bear their sins through his holy life and then take them to the death on the cross for them and for the gift of eternal hope. You know, this whole story reminds us of what happened on the day of Pentecost, when the Holy Spirit again would come on that day after Jesus had completed his work and ascended into heaven and told his disciples, just wait for me, wait till you see what happens. And as they're gathered together waiting, suddenly the sound of the rushing wind, again, the Ruach of God, the Spirit of God, the breath of God blowing among them. And now, filled with the Spirit, they began to prophesy to their generation in many, many different languages. And people believe. And we are told on that day alone, 3,000 people turned from darkness to light, from unbelief to faith, from hopelessness to eternal joy. They were baptized and had the gift of life. What does this mean for us? It means everything, doesn't it? On this day in which we celebrate the gift of the Holy Spirit, we confess Jesus, or the Holy Spirit, as the Lord and giver of life. And we can't imagine thinking anything kinder, wishing anything better to somebody than that they would have the Holy Spirit. At the beginning of every church service, you often hear us say, the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you. And you wish the same thing for me as a pastor. Yeah, we can't imagine something better than that the breath of God would inhabit our heart, our lungs, our veins and corpuscles, our lives, and would overflow in faith to our God. With that, we can face the rest of our lives. This is important because of Satan and what he's trying to do to us. When Satan wants to attack us, he generally does it in two ways. One, he traps us in unrepentant sin, leading us to follow our natural sinful tendencies, bowing down to the false idols and lusts of this world, and basically saying, God, I want nothing to do with you, and I'm going to ignore your claim on my life. We might call that not caring about God. That would be deadly. But the second thing is just as deadly, that he traps us in regret and hopelessness because of our sin and not believing that God could actually love us and rescue us. Call that not hoping. Between not caring and not hoping, Satan seeks to pull us away from our God. Pentecost is our answer to that, isn't it? Pentecost is the day God says, I restore you to myself. I forgive you your sins. I breathe into you my Holy Spirit. And I give you that joy that you are mine. And not only that, not only did God rescue you from your sins, and through your baptism and the preaching of the word pump life into your body, he gave you the hope that the same thing is true for people around you. You know, one of our great insults to the Holy Spirit is that we believe he can rescue us, but we're not so sure that he can rescue the people around us. I mean, think about that. How often you have run into people who seem to be beyond hope, beyond rescue. They've turned so much toward themselves and their own lives and away from God that you say they're never going to be able to go to heaven. Maybe if they've hurt you, you might even wish that for them. Shame on us for wishing that. I can think of somebody in my own family, a young man, who for a while was so strung out on opioids, we had given up on faith in him. But finally, we took time to pray for him and to introduce him to the word of the Lord. And guess what? The Lord freed him from his opioid addiction. And he gave him the hope of joy and forgiveness that allowed him to be a great father and a husband. I'm not saying that's the way it's always going to turn out, but it was a lesson to us. Don't give up where God has not given up. When God asks us, can these bones live? The answer is absolutely yes. The question might be, will we be God's tool in his hand to continue to prophesy and to proclaim the word of the Lord? Pray for those people around you, maybe even in your own household, who are rejecting the word of the Lord. They are not beyond his power to save. Someone saw a pile of trash and saw in that pile of trash the possibility of an orchestra. God saw a dead planet and saw in it a future kingdom. On this day, we celebrate that God has not given up on this planet and has not given up on us individually. Can these bones live? The Lord asks. Yes, comes back the answer. With the breath of God, yes. Praise to God the Holy Spirit. Amen.